This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Lee, a.k.a. Watch Me Lee, and I'm here, my boy, Jack.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 salam, nerds. It's your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch With Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, a.k.a. DJ... What if Jazz was not here? How would the show go without him? Oh no, Jazz left. All right, I guess we have the answer to that question.
Good luck.
Listen, Jazz, are you ready? Come back. Listen, are you ready to cover Captain Carter and the Multiverse of Madness? What if season two?
You know, I really do hate the name Multiverse of Madness, because that movie was not a Multiverse of Madness. It's what I've always called it, the Triverse of Sadness. Like,
that is true.
So bad.
That is true. Well, listen, guys, I know what's not making us sad, and that's our guest. So we have to welcome back our guest for the third time, Marmar. What's going on? How are you?
Hi, Neeps. Hi, Jazz. Great to be back again to talk about What If. So.
You look amazing. What you got? You're in Hawaii at the moment. We're so jealous, and you got an amazing tan. Look at you. You look fabulous.
Yeah, I'm
good lighting. Better lighting than I usually have. So, thank you.
That's awesome. Well, you were on our podcast when we went over Elementals. You were on our podcast when we went over Everything Everywhere All at Once, and now we got you for What If. And I'm really excited because I saw some of your TikToks and I'm like, ooh, she's got opinions. Let's have her on the show. I love it when people have opinions, especially when they are against the grain. I feel like they're interesting and we get to explore them. So I would like to just, you know, start off with just going around the room. What are your thoughts without spoilers of this season of What If compared to last season? Marmar, why don't you go first? You're our guest.
Thank you. Wow. Where do I begin? There were a few that I really enjoyed. I would say, I think What If season one still is a little bit better than season two for me for a few reasons that we'll probably get into throughout the show. But overall, I think some of the stories that they chose to kind of explore were very interesting. A lot of them, in my opinion, felt like rehashings of just original movies that we have already seen in the MCU, but then kind of just like replacing characters and then putting them in and then say, okay, what if that happened? So some are good. Some are like, okay, like we've kind of seen this a little bit before. I did wish that they would try to venture out and try to ask a little bit more provocative questions or just more questions that will be like, okay, like truly what could happen if that scenario did happen and played out instead of what we have gotten in that sacred timeline or the original MCU timeline. But overall, it was still good. It was so enjoyable. It was nice to see episodes every single day. I was out of the country when all the What If season two episodes were dropping. So it was trying to find that time difference and then trying to figure out when those new episodes were dropping. But it was a cool format that Disney Plus had with the daily drop. So.
Yeah, I actually really like that. Like, drop one day. It's like every day is like a special gift you're getting. You're like, it's something to look forward to every day. Even though, like, I didn't enjoy all the episodes, but there's still something to look forward to. Jazz, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the season started off okay. In the middle, it got worse. But then toward the end, they kind of got it together. And I was like, oh, this is amazing in some places. And so, you know, overall, yeah, it was an okay season. the daily drops. I actually did not watch them on time, so I didn't even realize that was happening, but that's awesome that they did that. But yeah, let's talk more about the episodes when we get into it.
All right. Well, for me, like, it's no secret. What If is like one of my least favorite shows. Like, I don't really like this show. And that's fine. I feel like it's not for me. It's for other people. My biggest thing with this show is that I don't get the tone and the humor. It just doesn't work for me. It's like not the MCU, but it's also not a cartoon, right? So like, I watch Earth's Mightiest Heroes and I watch like Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon, and like, they have a certain type of humor there. Then the MCU has their type of humor, and then What If has its own, and it just, the tone doesn't work. And some of the humor I don't find funny. I don't think some of the jokes work. They're just like thrown in there because they have nothing for the person to say. And you see it really badly in the Tony Stark episode, where it's just one quip after another, which like majority of them don't need to be there. And my favorite episode had no jokes. It was nothing that was like, you know, typical, hey, let's add a joke for no reason here. And that was the Kahori episode, which we'll get into. But I think those are the two reasons why I don't really connect with the show. But if people do, that's great. I'm not knocking it. You know, not everything is for everybody. So that's where we all stand on this show. So I'm glad people, we're going to have a little bit of, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what's made. So the first episode was Nebula Joins the Nova Corp. What If Nebula Joins the Nova Corp? Now, this one wasn't bad. I actually really liked this one because it has this cool noir feeling. It was a mystery. I was kind of digging this. And it was really, really cool. And they brought in some side characters for comedic relief. I didn't think they were too bad. This was one of, I was like, okay, this was an okay episode for me. I thought it was decent. And I really liked the ending. I really liked Nebula. I feel like Karen Gillian's voice acting, I think she was a voice actress. I think it was really, really good. Yeah. What are your thoughts about this episode, Marmar?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of you said, a lot of what you said about the first episode. I like the crime noir. I like a good, like, crime noir kind of genre. So I think I like that. What If, at least the season two, one of the positives I had was that it was at least trying to like explore, dip its toes into kind of more specific genre kind of storytelling. And so I hope they do more of that in the future, whatever, if it's a show or a movie. But I guess if you're a Nebula fan, at least I always like Nebula's character. She's a very tragic character, but I think there's a lot of nuance and a lot of like story there still to tell about Nebula. And I'm glad they took that opportunity to kind of give Nebula that spotlight and give her a story that is not as sad. So it's nice to see her kind of have her own moment in the multiverse.
Yeah, not as sad, but still kind of sad. We'll see. Jazz, what are your thoughts about Nebula?
So what I really liked about this episode was that Nebula had a mom figure finally. Mm-hmm. And seeing that relationship grow, showing how she could blossom if she had the right support, aka just not Thanos, like, she could have been something amazing even in the MCU. And this was a fantastic way to start off a season. Like, I actually, like, I know some people are saying, oh, it's mid, even I said that initially, but like, this specific episode was great.
Yeah, that is so funny. I never thought about Nebula having a mother figure. Are you saying that like Daddy Thanos isn't enough for them?
You want me to answer that question? Like, I mean, yeah, absolutely. He's not like
just because your dad is pro genocide. Like, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, he really tortured her for her whole life, replacing with like mechanical body parts whenever. Like, come on, man. Like,
what father hasn't compared their children to each other and made them fight it out?
That seemed like a recurring theme in this season. So,
yeah, exactly.
Dealing with the dads.
I agree. That's why this episode worked for me, because as you see of some of the other, it was a completely different tone. And I like that about this one. Hey, Toyin's in the comments. Welcome, Toyin. We are talking about What If season two. Feel free to drop your comments in TikTok, Instagram, and on YouTube if you like. All right. So the next one is What If Peter Quill fights the Avengers, I believe. Again, this is what a typical What If episode kind of reminds me of. And while I do like Peter Quill, I like seeing Hope and Peter as kids. This one really didn't do much for me. It was cool to see the Winter Soldier with this like team that you wouldn't normally see. Captain Marvel was a big surprise. I didn't see her being in here. I thought that was really cool. Also, we didn't mention, but like Jude Law's character from Captain Marvel was also in the Nebula thing. That was another one. So I like seeing characters I don't expect to see. I think that's a lot of fun. Like Howard the Duck and stuff. And I know they're using Groot because they don't have to pay anybody because he just says like one word. It's just pre-recorded. But yes, what do you guys think of the Peter Quill episode, Mar-Mar?
Yeah, these are, to my earlier point of like, these are one of the episodes where it just felt like a rehashing. Like they were kind of just like, okay, let's just take the first Avengers and then just replace Loki with Peter Quill. And then like, instead of the OG Avengers, I think one thing I liked about it at least was that like, I was trying to like assemble what, like who could be in the Avengers in that time period. Cause it was in the 1980s when Peter Quill was a child. So it was nice to see a lot of the older superheroes who kind of were the mentors or the neglected parents kind of teaming up to kind of see how their dynamic could work in that time period and in those situations. Like obviously, like we had T'Chaka, we had Hope's dad, Hank. We had obviously Winter Carter, Howard Winter Stark. So it was interesting to see them together, and then Winter's like Bucky. I totally forgot that he's just around. Not aging really.
Was Captain Carter in this one too or no?
It was just Peggy.
Just Peggy. Okay. Yeah. Damn, she's in everything, whether she's Peggy or Captain Carter. Like they really, really are pushing her like crazy. And
I don't know why, but
I feel like it's having the negative effect that they want. I feel like a lot of people are not connecting with the character. But we'll get to that bridge when we get to it. Jazz, what are your thoughts about the Peter Quill episode?
Marmar just said it the best. This episode wasn't that great. Like just the whole premise of this episode where, you know, you have Ego's plan and like how quickly everything moved, quickly everything shifted. I'm like, none of this makes sense. Like this is bad. I'm very glad this is one of the shorter episodes because I just could not wait to get through it. Like it was not good.
Yeah, it was nothing about it that I really like. I did like Howard and Winter Soldier talking on the phone a little bit, and I was like, this motherfucker is gonna kill you, by the way. I hope you know this. You know, but I think that's the only part that I really thought was interesting, where you got to see that, you know, Bucky is already trying to deprogram himself a little bit in the 80s. But yeah, like it does just feel like more of the same. Like it didn't give us anything special. We got to see some characters who we normally would not have seen. It was cool to see T'Chaka. It was cool to see Hank, but there's nothing to write home about. I didn't really love this episode either.
Also, if I mentioned, I know Thor also was in there, another 8,000-year-old like hero, but also when he was saying, oh yeah, all of like Asgard's over because of this kid, and I'm like, really? That kid really just obliterated the nine realms like that? Okay.
Yeah, and like he didn't even mean to. He just like was going places, and the whole thing was like, oh, he was misunderstood, and he didn't really want to kill anything or blow planets. And I'm like, well, then how did he blow up those other planets where he came from? I was like, what's really, really going on here? I don't know. And like we got this amazing story of like how Peter Quill learns who his dad is and he's so happy, and then he like conquers his like, you know, I don't know what it was, but his like imagination of what he had of his dad, his expectations. And when he found out that his mom killed his mom, like it was so well done in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And this is kind of just like a wish version of that. Like it didn't give us something different. You're just giving us a watered down version of something we already have. We already have the Avengers. We already have Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You smashed the two together and gave us a Walmart version of it. That's really what this episode is.
Agreed.
I'm wearing my haterade hat today. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Because like you should hate this episode. It's just bad.
It's valid.
Well, speaking of hating episodes,
Okay, yes, fair.
I hated the next one too. I don't like it. Like, I'm sorry, but Die Hard's been done to death. It's been done by Community and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and just every other sitcom. Like, it's been done to death, and we did not need a Marvel's Die Hard. I'm sorry. Well, what are your thoughts about this episode, Marmar?
I agree. I've always liked Happy to a certain extent. I think he's just kind of a jolly old man who just kind of just there, like helps whenever he needs to be and is useful to the plot when he needs to be. Yeah. So it was nice that he had his own, his like John McClane Die Hard moment. It was interesting that they actually like caught him. I haven't read the comics, so I could be wrong. I know he took that serum and then he became whatever. I think he is that in the comics. Mm. So I don't know if he is like that.
I didn't know that.
He might be. I might. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But I.
There's so many comics. But there might be one where it is. Toy insist the weakest episode. Yeah. I would agree. But like, it's a Christmas episode. I'm not going to hate on it. I'm like, you know what? Some people might like it. Everyone loves a Christmas story, I guess. I'm not one of those people. So I thought maybe that's why. But if people who love Christmas stories are telling us it's not good, then it's probably really bad.
I will also say, it kind of reminded me, it felt like a fan fiction kind of like story in terms of like someone kind of probably just thought, oh, what would happen if all the Avengers were just like celebrating Christmas? And then just like seeing kind of what could transpire. It felt like kind of like those kind of episodes where it just felt like wholesome.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, just kind of no thoughts, just vibes, kind of like Avengers just chilling.
Yeah.
For the holidays. So that was nice in that regard, but nothing much more after that.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kat Dennings. I like some of the people that they have. But, like, this is one of the episodes where I think the jokes were just really bad. Even Justin Hammer just, like, had, like, one joke after another. And I'm like, if you're going to give a character jokes, like, give them good ones. Like, Robert Downey Jr. had some good lines in his movies because he's the witty person. Some of them were his own ideas that he came up with on the spot, right? In fact, like, the entire court case with Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2 was pretty much all ad-libbed, right? According to the MCU reign of the MCU book. And like, he had the chops to do it. But they didn't let him. I don't know who wrote these lines, but they were not funny. I was just not connecting to them. I did like seeing what all the other Avengers were doing during Christmas. I thought that was funny, where like Hawkeye was buying a toy, and I think somebody was Tony was Santa, and I don't know, Steve was an elf. Like, that was funny, sure. Like, that gag got me. I thought that was pretty funny, but the jokes and the lines weren't that great. And then I don't know, this was the weakest episode. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I couldn't get over the voice actor for Tony Stark.
Yeah,
you know it's different. You know it's not Robert Downey Jr. Like, it just didn't hit for me. And then, you know, this episode, I know it's supposed to be an episode about Happy, but really the only one who I actually liked in this episode was Darcy. Like, she was the one who got shit done. She was the one, you know, just making sure everything was going okay. And of course, everything goes wrong.
Yeah,
but like, everybody else was just like, you know, vibing and not doing anything. Darcy's here stressed. Like, it was just a mishmash, and Darcy, she was the only silver lining to it.
Yeah,
but, yeah, agreed with like everybody else, this is probably the weakest episode of the entire season.
You know what they need to do? They need to give Maria Hill her episode. But poor girl is dead now. She never got her flowers. She's never had any kind of like significant role in any of the movies. Like, Happy's definitely been in like 4 or 5 movies.
Yeah. Freaking,
Kat Dennings been in like quite a few things with WandaVision. Like, Maria Hill shows up for like 1 second and is like out. Give her her flowers. Give her something. We saw this amazing character that people connected with. People loved the actress, and they never did anything with her. That's so sad.
Yes, we love Robin.
Bring her to the mall. Like, a little How I Met Your Mother.
Yo, reference. If they did a what if episode of her in a mall, right? And she was like somehow in an alternate timeline where she met Robin Sparkles. I would think that would be one of the best episodes ever made for What If.
That would be so funny. I love
Give
that song.
Give me that. That would be amazing.
That's a multiverse of madness right there.
Exactly. Robin Schabowski and Maria Hill in like one universe. Like that. That's what I want to see. Give me that What If.
Yeah.
Come on, Jessica. Come on, Tori. Let's go to the mall. You won't be sorry. Like, I love that. That's a banger.
You know the words.
I know the whole words. I know all of it. So bad.
All right, we'll do a sing-along after this episode.
Yeah. Well, speaking of not liking Tony Stark's voice, the next episode, we get a whole lot of Tony Stark. Now, I'm not mad at this episode because originally this episode was from season one, and it was supposed to be about Gamora, and for some reason, they re-edited it to make it about Tony. And here's the thing with Tony voice actor. Like, I actually like him because he is Tony Stark in the Earth's Mightiest Heroes TV show cartoon. But okay. In that show, he gets to be his own version of Tony Stark. In this, yes. He's trying to be the Robert Downey version of Tony Stark and mm-hmm. is not hitting. And in the cartoon, he just does his own thing, which worked. And I don't know. It's a multiverse. It's a different universe. You can make your own version of Tony Stark. You don't have to follow the MCU version. But I think that's why it's not hitting.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like they're going to go back to what worked in the MCU and they're going to try and recreate it. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. He died an honorable death. Like, let Robert Downey Jr. be. Don't touch his character.
Yeah.
You know, we can move on now. And yes, what's his name? I'm blanking on this voice actor's name. It's Wingert? Mick Wingert, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. In the other cartoon, he's fantastic, like, being himself, right? I want to see more of that. I don't want people trying to be Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
The expectations are going to fall flat. I'm sorry. And, you know, be yourself, be your own character, have your own quips and mannerisms. I will enjoy that. Like, I can respect that. But when you try to be something else and it doesn't work, then you're going to end up with all this hate, which you rightfully deserve.
Yeah. No, totally, totally. So for me, this episode was the most cartoonish of the bunch. Like, it felt like Wacky Racers from Hanna-Barbera or something, where they're like doing this kind of race, or like Wreck-It Ralph, where they're having like the big race at the end, and there's like the Candyland King, and that's the Grand Emperor. Like, that's what it felt like to me. So I was like, all right, this one feels like a cartoon, and like the Grand Emperor's like literally melts to the ground in like a puddle, and I'm like, all right, this is like a kid's cartoon. This is like a Hanna-Barbera kind of cartoon. And I'm just like, oh, I don't understand the tone they're going for here. Are they going for MCU? Are they going for Earth's Mightiest Avengers? Or are they going for like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon? Because like every episode is like all over the place. Like one's a noir story. One's a story about like a serious subject like colonization. And then some is like trying to be like the MCU. And then one is like a racing cartoon. So I feel like the show is a little bit all over the place. What are your thoughts about this episode, Marmar?
Yeah, this episode was definitely the wackiest one yet. Yeah. Again, kind of similar to, it felt like Thor Ragnarok, but then again, I mean, that's the whole premise. It's Thor Ragnarok, but it's actually Tony instead of the Hulk landing down. And then a lot of that kind of, it's still beat for beat Thor Ragnarok when you get to Sakaar.
Yeah.
I did like, it was interesting to see Gamora and Tony interact because they have never interacted, so it was nice that at least like they can connect on their daddy issues with each other. Like Tony's like, I had a shitty dad. Sounds like you do too, so we should team up and take on your dad.
Yeah, that's true. Though I think Gamora might have him beat on shitty dad. Oh, yeah.
Well, 1,000%.
Yeah, Jazz, what are your thoughts about this episode?
So this episode I actually liked initially. Until we were on the Agents of Fandom podcast.
Yeah.
And it was brought up just how, like, this is another one of those exact rehashed episodes that didn't really do anything to explore What If, right?
Yeah.
This is just another one of those episodes where you throw a character in a different place and the end result is almost the exact same as it was. And it's just another disappointment. Mm. Now, as for the wackiness of the episode, I actually did enjoy that.
That's fine.
Yeah, like if they're exploring this, that's cool. Like, I'm for that. They want to explore different genres. That's cool. It's out of, it's, you know, all over the place. Yes, but like, that's what it's supposed to be. So
sure,
you know, going in with that, that was fine for me. But where this episode really falls short is the story. It just does not do anything significant, right? Like, for example, the next episode we're going to talk about, right? That was so good and so significant. This episode, or sorry, two episodes from now, this episode, again, is just like another thing they did just to try and hit the nostalgia button and print money. And it just did not work for me.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, speaking of nostalgia, let's go to our favorite 1940s hero, for which is Captain Carter. So again, this, yeah, she come, well, first with Peggy, and like all of season one was Peggy, and Multiverse of Madness with Peggy, and then also she had her own two-season TV show. She has the most screen time of any non-Avenger in the MCU. Like, she has two seasons of a show. She's been in so many cameos. She was in so many movies. She had her 10 minutes in, what do you call it? Multiverse of Madness. And she has so many, like, screen times in these cartoons. Like, she has got a chokehold on Marvel. Like, she's got, she must know where the bodies are buried. Cause, and like, listen, if you like Captain Carter, that's great. That's fine. No hate. There are some valid reasons
why. I like Captain Carter.
Really? So, like, there's some valid reasons why people.
That's what you're just like, really? Okay.
All right. Here's why I don't like Captain Carter. They don't let her be her own person. All they do is give her Captain America lines. And all she does is repeat with Steve's line. She's not Captain Carter. She's just freaking Steve Rogers in a Union jacket. That's not that. Marmar.
That's really it. Right. Yeah. They're like, shoot, I just lost my train of thought because, like, this comment's here which says, you know, we didn't need more Peggy, honestly, but I do love her. And so, like, Marmar, go ahead while I recollect my thoughts.
Sure.
I do agree with that. I think that's a big part is that I think Peggy is not her own character because she's basically just kind of, she's basically replacing Steve Rogers when we already have Sam Wilson as Captain America, and somehow they're pushing Peggy Carter as Captain Carter more than Sam Wilson as Captain America. And I think that's like, from what I've seen, that's a big part of, I think, why the overexposure of Captain Carter is kind of off-putting for a lot of people. And I mean, Peggy Carter in general, she's fine, like, and kind of as a supporting person to Steve Rogers' storyline. And I think if she wanted to do a power up and be that superhero, that's fine. But it's, again, it's just being Captain America. It's just being Steve Rogers. And then that's not, I think, fair for someone like her when she probably has her own story. And I mean, we saw probably through Agent Carter and all of that. So I think just the overexposure of her in What If Season 2 also was just like, I think, let's just let the woman lay to rest. Like, it's just, I think, like, there's so many more fascinating characters that the MCU has introduced, and yet we're still on Peggy and Steve.
Yeah.
Like, they had their happy ending in Endgame. Like,
yes.
A lot of people is like, I'm sure that's still a controversial thing to talk about of that ending, but, like, they got together. Like, why are we still, like, making it sound like they have a timeless, tragic love story when we saw them together in one universe? That's just me. I think it's just overexposure.
Yeah.
And we need to move on.
Yeah, I get it. It kind of cheapens that happy ending. Mm-hmm. So in this story, like, again, like, she just, it's really just like the Winter Soldier, but you replace the Winter Soldier with Steve. And I'm just like, okay, it's more of the same. And like, the only thing I thought was interesting, I think Black Widow was good in this. I thought she was interesting. Seeing Bucky as what you call it, a world leader, I thought that was interesting. Yeah. But yeah, it was more of the same. Did not love it, but I didn't mind seeing some more Black Widow in this one. I thought she is a pretty decent character. I think the voice actress for Black Widow does a great job of, like, making Black Widow her own, which is what the Tony Stark of that this What If universe should be doing. So really, really like that.
Let me tell you one thing though about this episode, or actually just Captain Carter in general, It's that I agree that we've seen so much of her and we're tired of her, but it's only because we haven't seen the real Captain Carter. Like, I want a what if episode that is Captain Carter that isn't Captain America.
Yeah.
Right? Give me that. That would be something really cool to watch, actually.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think Marvel is definitely screwing that up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of screwing it up, I definitely agree with Marmar, where like it is off-putting to see Captain Carter being pushed on us when we haven't gotten Sam Wilson as our Captain America in forever in any kind of, because they can give us a what if like episode with Sam if they wanted to. They choose not to, and his movie is now like tainted with all this like issues with Sabra and like all of this stuff that's happening. Not only are they like promoting a, what you call it, Masood agent, a character that's based on a Masood agent, but there's also a lot of anti-Semitic stuff with going on with that movie, where it used to be called New World Order, and there's a lot of other things that they were having. There's just a lot of like controversy surrounding that movie, and I feel like they're just putting Sam in such like a bad place, and they're not doing him justice. And the fact that like they could have put him in anything they wanted until now, that he could have been in an end credit scene in any of the movies that came out, and yeah, people would have gone crazy for it, right? But they chose not to, because you know they're saving it for the movie, which is fine. But I don't know, after a while you're kind of just start looking at them sideways. it's basically what happens. All right, so I swear to you, we're not going to shit on this show the whole episode. The good episodes are coming. I promise you, we're not just here to, we're not one of the people that just hates on the MCU just to hate on them. But what if Kahori reshapes the world? Love this episode. Absolutely love it. The animation style, the way they explain colors, her powers, like how her powers work, speaking in the Mohawk language, like, beautiful episode. They spent time on this episode. They took years to do it. And it goes to go to you, like, when Marvel and Disney actually care about something, they will put out quality work. They will reach out to people to make sure the right people are telling these stories. I was like, holy shit, this is good. And there was no like cheap humor into it, because it didn't work with the tone of the episode, because the episode was very serious. It was about like a genocide, and because of that, like, they made sure not to just like throw in these little quips and humors in places where they don't belong to cut the tension. And that's why this episode really, really worked for me. Marmar, what are your thoughts?
I totally agree. It's probably my favorite episode of the season. I think the introduction of a very new character like Kahori was awesome. Like, I wish we got to like a whole movie of her too. Like, I'm glad that they took time to like, they filled out those whatever, like 30 minutes of this episode. And it was just great from beginning to end. And Devery Jacobs as Kahori, I know she had interest if they ever do a live action, and I hope they do explore a live action of Kahori. I think they handled the subject matter really well. It was a good balance in tone. It was serious when it needed to be. It was humorous and more heartfelt and when it needed to be. And it was just incredible to see that her powers, and then how she used it for good, and then was still in a way that was not very, you know, incredibly violent, but like still very just.
Yeah.
And the ending when she just went to the queen herself was just. And we're stopping this now.
I actually love the queen. She was voiced by Carolina Ravisa. Carolina Ravisa. And so, if any of you have ever played Overwatch, she's the voice of Sombra in the game. And so, I thought she was just perfect for this role. This whole episode was just fantastic. I really can't add much more to it. Like, just everything from the tattoos, the colors, like, every little detail, I feel like they went above and beyond. And then maybe that's why the last few episodes were bad, was because they spent so much time and budget on this one episode. This episode was the reason I actually, well, truth be told, I haven't watched episode 789, but this episode is, in my opinion, the reason this whole season was saved. Like, if it wasn't for episode 6, I would have said this is probably the worst Marvel season of a show of all time.
Oh yeah, I would say that like somebody needs to make sure Kahori has good health insurance because her back must hurt from carrying this season.
I also love that the beginning of the episode was because it was the Tesseract, and then it was like Odin didn't have like he couldn't accomplish his mission to colonize the Nine Realms, and then ended on Kahori just ending colonization on Earth. And stopping that. So it was nice, like that theme carried through from beginning to end.
I never thought of that Odin as like conquering the Nine Realms is really just colonization on a space level.
It really is.
Yeah. He's a colonizer. Like full stop.
Yeah. Basically, like he colonized Earth and was like, Thor, this will be your dominion. You protect it.
Midgard and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh man, no, this was a really, really good episode. And speaking of Odin, the next episode is Odin and Hela get into a fight and he casts her out the way he casts out Thor in the first Thor movie. So again, it's a little rehashing of like Thor 1, but it was interesting.
Wait, should I dip because I haven't seen episode 7, 8, 9 yet?
It's up to you.
Yeah, let me do that because I don't want to fully spoil it. Like, wait, are they good?
They're okay. I mean, the last two are pretty good. I mean, the last one is definitely good.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Jazz is leaving.
Yeah, no, because like, I'm sorry, I haven't had time to watch the rest of it. Really, yeah, but
you only had a month. I'm sorry, it's fine.
it's been a busy time.
Kidding.
Episode 6 was great.
Jazz has been doing good work. Jazz has been working with a lot of political organizations to put out letters for the ceasefire. So Jazz has been doing
amazing,
really hard, tough work, creating a pact, doing a lot of good work. So we don't blame you, Jazz. We love you.
I'll be back soon, I promise.
All right. Marmar, you are the new co-host of the show. You've been promoted. All right. So this one says, what if Hela found the Ten Rings? Technically, she never found them. She just found
what she didn't find them, but she saw them. What if she saw the Ten Rings?
Exactly. What if she saw the Ten Rings?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I came back just because I was hitting X. You said that. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so she never found the Ten Rings. Basically, she just like runs into Shang-Chi's dad and she's kind of by Shang-Chi's dad was like, yo, let me holla at this white lady real quick.
I know, that was so funny though. He was like, trying to do a shot with Hela.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really funny. And then instead, she starts vibing with his wife instead, right? I was like, oh, that's
a twist of events. I was like, I'm not mad at this.
Yeah. So they treat her helmet the same way they treat the Thor's hammer, basically. Yeah. So no one can lift it unless like they are worthy. Mm-hmm. So Hela isn't worthy because she's too much of like a bloodthirsty warrior. So she has to learn mercy. So she ends up going to the dimension where Shang-Chi's mom is from, I believe.
Hello.
And she ends up learning from Shang-Chi's mom, and she learns patience, she learns mercy, then she goes back out there to fight her dad because her dad realized that she wasn't in the Nine Realms, so he came to avenge her, and then he's like, oh, you have this weapon, you shouldn't really have that, let someone more sophisticated take that from you because you can't be trusted with these weapons. Very colonizer mindset, right? I thought that was pretty interesting. And then they have like a fight scene. It was really cool to see how the Ten Rings work and how they use them together. I thought that was really cool, but I really wanted to see Hela use the Ten Rings. She didn't use them at all. What are your thoughts about this episode, Marmar?
Yeah, I mean, to the point, it was very rehashing of the first Thor movie, except it's landing in, to meet Wenwu. It was really interesting. I think it was interesting to see Hela get a redemption arc. I personally have always loved Hela in Thor Ragnarok, and I actually just loved how unapologetically bad she was. And I mean, too, like, she was very valid in a lot of like what she did because her father literally banished her after literally making her into a tool.
Yeah.
And it's a weapon to colonize. And then now he was mad that she was like, I want more power. And he's like, nope, no. And then like banished her. So it was interesting to see Hela like be good. I think personally, I would rather have Hela just be a baddie all the way. But it was nice to see Hela kind of explore that side of her. It felt like a mishmash. It kind of just felt like, okay, let's just bring these two characters together and see what
happens. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad that, I mean, we didn't even get to see Shang-Chi. Like, it was literally just Wenwu and the mom.
I think like the mom and the dad had actually not met, so they never had Shang-Chi. Like, yeah, it
wouldn't be into existence anyway. But I'm glad that there was, at least in this episode, we got like, at least one of the characters that we've seen already. Like, at least they're trying to hopefully introduce more of the characters that you introduced since 2021. So
we saw Morris though, the faceless butt angel. Still don't know what's going on. Yeah. That was really, really funny. But yeah, I did like the fight. Yes. Though. It felt like an anime. Yeah. The fighting was actually really well done. As Tony said, I did like, I never seen that before. Yeah, I never seen Odin in all his like glory fighting. That was really, really cool. So I definitely did like that. Overall, I really liked the episode.
Yeah, I like the comparisons of Odin and Wenwu, because Wenwu technically, they're cut from the same cloth, Wenwu and Odin. And so it's nice to see that Wenwu also was on the, I guess, the good side.
Yeah.
Because in Shang-Chi had to fight his father in the way that Hela has to fight her father.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, Shang-Chi was just down bad for Hela. He was like, we can reshape the world. She should have took him up on that offer.
Yeah. It was funny that just Wenwu was just like, had that side of him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a romantic at heart.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I totally get that. Even in Shang-Chi, like, all he cared about was his wife. That's the reason he did all that and made a mess of like the whole universe. He just wanted to hear his voice, voice of his wife. The man's got it bad. all right, the next episode, another one that came out again, Captain Carter is being featured. She was pulled away into a different dimension by the Scarlet Witch, who now has the power to create portals from other dimensions, which is the entire plot of Multiverse of Madness, which makes it even less relevant now. The fact that she could have just like spent a few more years studying and been doing it herself.
True. Damn.
So that was wild. But yes, it was in like the 1600s.
Yeah.
And it was very much like Robin Hood feels. They were just like in the fields and doing these kind of like, you know, shenanigans. What did you think of this episode?
Yeah, I grew up, like, I think, hearing the King Arthur story. So it's interesting to see them in a different time. And then, yeah, Scarlet Witch being like that Merlin figure. And then, like, you having, like, I love that Paul Rudd was in this, like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And then you had Bucky, and then you had Steve Rogers too.
Steve Rogers,
like, just
kind
of being that, those bandits, like those Robin Hood bandits where they just steal from the rich and give to the poor. Mm-hmm. And then you have Thor, and then you have Happy. So, and then I think it was funny that Tony was like the crazy one because he was into science.
Yeah.
that was a nice twist. Like, it was nice to see the tables turn there. But yeah, it was decent. Like, it was not my favorite episode. Again, kind of going to the Steve Peggy like love story, and you're like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, exactly, right. Speaking of time, turning the table, I did like the fact that like Captain Carter is supposed to be the person out of time, but in this situation, she knows more about the future than they do. So she's like using these words, and Tony's like, "I love this gibberish that you're saying." I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, so at the end of this episode, basically, you find out that Steve was actually not from this universe, and he was causing a tear in that universe. And I was like, great. So to prevent the tear from the universe that is being caused by someone not in that universe being in there, you bring another person from outside that universe. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And then Captain Carter just stays there, and she's like, all right. And again, and then finally, Doctor Strange finds her at the end, which leads us to our last episode. What if Supreme Strange intervenes? And this one was like the culmination of stuff. So you bring back all the characters. Kahori comes back, and Kahori kills it in this episode. I love it. Like to see her team up with Captain Carter. I love the ending when they get all the weapons. Everyone throws their weapons at them, and they have all the cool weapons.
Yeah.
I thought that was super cool. The zombies be coming back, cool throwback. I like that. I love how this episode had so many throwbacks. It was really, really cool.
No, I agree. I think that fight scene was incredibly epic. The fight, like, just everyone kind of just going at each other. I made a comment where I was like, this is like as close to what we're getting for Secret Wars, where every like people from different multiverses are just coming up and just like beating each other up for no reason. That was cool. It was really cool. And then I think, I mean, Doctor Strange in What If Season 1 was like, he was really interesting, but I think at the end of the day, he's just like another simp where he's like, oh, I just love my, love the scene, and then I do anything, and then everything like just goes to shatters because of his love for Christine, and it's nice. I guess he's still on it. he's still working all through that goal. But yeah, I'm glad that Kahori came back. And I think it was interesting that Kahori and Captain Carter were a team up. I made a comment in my video a while back where it was like, you would think that she knows of all the colonizers. So I think that's another thing why I guess Captain Carter is like, for me, not my favorite, is that her Union Jack, like just ripping Union Jack the way that she does. Like, it's kind of ironic in the and with what she like fights for, and yet you have this Union Jack up and so proudly on your shield.
Yeah.
And so for Kahori, who just fought colonization like not too long ago, coming with Captain Carter in that way was very weird.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was, I think it was nice that they kind of bonded still and then were able to take to go on Doctor Strange. But yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah. Toyin just mentioned about Killmonger. Mm-hmm. I love that Thanos showed up and you're like, oh shit, they're fucked. And then all of a sudden Thanos disappeared and you're trying to figure out why. And then here comes Killmonger with all the Infinity Stones. And I was just like, yo, this is so good. That was a really, really cool moment. So I love that. This was an action-filled episode, which is what I really like. Like, as soon as we see Kahori, after that, it's just action after action after action, which was really, really good. And then finally, they defeat Doctor Strange by, I don't really know how they defeated him. He kind of just like defeated himself, but also got like pushed into this portal. And they're like, all right, this was his last sacrifice. So he was good all along. And you're like, okay, apparently there's like a devil in him or something. But like, motherfucker, you did it to yourself. Like, it was really your fault. Again, more people causing problems because, you know, they're simps, I guess.
Yep, exactly.
That's it, man. God damn it. But yeah, no, this was a decent season. But like, for me, like, as you know, like we talked about it, there were hit and misses. There were some hits, there were some misses. For me, unfortunately, I feel like there were more misses than hits. But overall, I think the whole thing is worth it because we got this new amazing character. And for Marvel to make a brand new character so late in the game and make it in a cartoon show that's not very popular and have it take off is amazing. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And if we don't see Kahori in Secret Wars, I'm going to burn a building down because we need to see her because that's so dope.
Here at some capacity in like the next year or so.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. That's going to be the next like Captain America picks up the hammer moment when we see her in in Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Please let people know where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I am Marmar on basically all my social medias. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Letterboxd too, and Serialized. Except there's like apparently Letterboxd is now going to do TV reviews, so we'll see how that happens. So it might just all be on Letterboxd, but yeah, that's where you'll find me.
All right, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely have you back for something or another. I'll keep a close eye on your TikToks. And if you're talking about anything that we're covering, I'll be sure to ask you to come on join. People love you. People like having you. By the way, I don't know if I ever got to tell you, but we had a lot of great people say great things about you during our Everything Everywhere All at Once episode. A lot of people loved a lot of your comments. It was really, really cool.
That's great.
And as always, guys, don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe. We are growing on YouTube. We are over 6,700 followers on YouTube. We are growing every single day. If we hit 10,000, I think we're definitely going to try to hit 10,000, hopefully by the end of the year, maybe even earlier. And we are going to be able to start making money off this motherfucker. Let's go. All right, guys. Thanks again. And until next time, salam, nerds.
Love that.